If you're looking for God's guidance, and God doesn't seem to be in a big hurry to give it to you, do what you know God wants you to do, and then God will show you what you don't know.
Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Can you relate to that as you seek to represent your Savior today? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you this time about the natural means of God's guidance. In my last talk, we dealt with the supernatural means of guidance, things like visible signs, the pillar of cloud and fire, the Star of Bethlehem, the audible signs, sound of marching in the balsam trees, the thunder at Sinai, the voices that people heard, which brought them the message of God. Then angels would be another supernatural means of guidance. An angel led Paul out of prison. And then dreams and visions. There are many ways in which God can get through to us whenever he needs to. But I don't really believe that we have a right to expect miracles. There's a popular Christian song, that says, what he's done for others, he will do for you. Now, that certainly is true when it comes to salvation and the broad general truths, such as guidance. If God guided David and Paul and Abraham, we certainly can expect that God will guide us ordinary folks too. But we don't hammer on God's door asking him to interrupt the natural course of things and to give us some supernatural, dramatic means of guidance. God knows exactly what kind you need. Just ask him to guide you. Among the natural means of God's guidance, I would put at the very top of the list, duty. That is certainly not a very popular word. People think of duty as being odious and boring and wearisome. It comes from the word due. It is due. It is required, just like dues or taxes. It is assigned. It is the work that we are obliged to do. And every one of us has duties. Duties to parents, duties to teachers, duties to bosses, duties to church, duties to our children, duties to our spouse. Those are obligations of our calling. My husband and I know a young man who worked for us, and among the many young students who have worked for us, this man probably did more spiritual talking than anybody else we had ever hired. And we discovered that the more spiritual talk we heard, it seemed, the less faithful he was in little things. And it was our duty, from time to time, to point out to him that he had not done what had been assigned. And at one point, my husband mentioned to him that spiritual talk really doesn't cut a whole lot of ice unless a person is doing the things which he is obliged to do. And this young man was highly insulted and said so to my husband. He said, I don't see what it has to do with my spirituality, and I am insulted. Well, it has everything to do with our spirituality. Jesus said, he that is faithful in that which is least, I will make him ruler over many things. Jesus also said, if a man is dishonest in little things, he will be dishonest in big things. If you're looking for God's guidance, and God doesn't seem to be in a big hurry to give it to you, just faithfully plod along, do the next thing, do what you know God wants you to do, and then God will show you what you don't know. Do what you know, he'll show you what you don't know. Second means of guidance is timing. God is never late. When I need to know, I'll know. Jim Elliot wrote one time, "Crucify doubt. Go on. It shall be shown thee what thou shalt do." On a number of occasions, when I have lost something, for example, my good cross pen, I have wasted a lot of time turning everything upside down and getting very frustrated and very frantic and irritated. And it was as if the Lord just stopped me and said, "You do the next thing. When you've done the next thing, then I'll show you where that pen is." And it has happened more than once. My Bible tells me, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Is it money? Is it a house? Is it a church? A job? The guidance will come at the appropriate time. My times are in his hand. In the fullness of time, he sent forth his Son. So let's not charge God, like the disciples, with negligence and inattention. When they were in the storm in the boat, remember, one of them said, "Lord, don't you care that we're perishing?" Well, they weren't perishing at all. Jesus did care, and he took care of them. When the priests of Israel were commanded to carry the ark across the sea, remember that they had to put their feet in the water. And it wasn't until they put their feet in the water that the waters were rolled back. When I was asking God to guide me as to whether or not I should take my daughter and go in to live with the Auca Indians in Ecuador, that was a hard decision. There were many risks involved. There were a good many ifs, ands, and buts, and plenty of people telling me that I must be out of my mind even to consider such a thing. I lost a lot of sleep worrying about that. But the Lord was constantly trying to tell me, "Leave it with me. Leave it with me. You do what you're supposed to do today. Trust in me. Rest in me. Stop worrying. And when the time comes, it will be clear." It was clear. It was as clear as sunlight when the time came. Until that time, it was just a fog. The difficulty that we have sometimes is because we refuse to accept what has already been told us. In Isaiah 58, verses 10 and 11, we read, "If you feed the hungry from your own plenty and satisfy the needs of the wretched, then your light will rise like dawn out of darkness, and your dusk be like noonday. The Lord will be your guide continually and will satisfy your needs in the shimmering heat. He will give you strength of limb, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." Notice, "the Lord will be your guide" is preceded by "if." If you cease to pervert justice. If you feed the hungry from your own plenty. There may be some small act of kindness that God is waiting for you to do for someone else before you're in a position to receive his guidance. Patience. Wait for the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Do what you know. And the third natural means. God calls us by name. In my experience, that does not mean that I audibly hear God's voice calling my name, Elizabeth. It means that God suits the guidance to the place where I am. There was a time in my life when I felt as if I couldn't make a move without some confirming word of Scripture. And God, in his mercy, understood that. He met me where I was, and he gave me those confirming words of Scripture. I probably made some mistakes as a result of that. I probably imagined that I could apply a certain verse in a certain way. But nevertheless, the shepherd is still in charge of the sheep, and he knew that my purpose was to do his will and to follow him. And so through all our falterings and failings, he does lead us. I remember my dear Canadian mom talking with me after her husband had died, told me how she thought of so many things that she had failed to do as a wife in their some 40 or 50 years of married life, and things that she had done which she wished she hadn't done, and she said, "I spoke to the Lord," and if you remember anything about my Canadian mom, Cunningham, she was Scottish. And she said, "I said to the Lord, 'Lord, why didn't you show me?' And he said, 'Because you weren't ready to be shown.'" And I think that that applies to many of us. When God doesn't give us an answer, it's because we aren't ready to be shown. And number four, human agents. Don't ever despise the guidance that comes through human agents. We were hoping that we might be human agents to help that young man that I referred to a few minutes ago to mend his ways, not to talk so much about the Lord until he was ready to do his duty. Your teacher is given to you to guide you. You are the pupil. A master is God's agent to guide the student. The king is God's agent over his subjects. A father is God's agent to guide and teach the son. Be subject unto one another in the Lord. Obey this command before you expect mystical guidance. Remember that God led Israel through Moses, and he spoke to them through the prophets and through the ministers. The ordinary Israelite in the tent did not receive his directions directly from God. God chose certain ones through whom he gave that direction.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.